From the heart of Washington State, you are listening to The Mountain and the Word, an audio podcast show from the Mount St. Helens Creation Center, featuring news, views, and information with a biblical and scientific perspective. The Mountain and the Word is produced and presented by creation speaker Paul Taylor and is available for download from our website, mshcreationcenter.org.
Hello, this is episode 4 of The Mountain and the Word. My name's Paul Taylor, and I am the director of the Mount St. Helens Creation Centre. And this is the audio podcast recorded programme from the Mount St. Helens Creation Centre in the heart of Washington State. Very close indeed to the mountain, to the volcano. And I'm very excited about this program because I'm going to be interviewing my very good friend Eric Hovind in this program from Creation Today. The website is creationtoday.org, and I went along to his offices in Pensacola and spent some time with him. It's always a joy to spend time with Eric and the other folks there. And so I spent quite a bit of time with them and recorded a good long interview, which must have been just short of 35 minutes long. And of course, as you know, I've shared how I've got this lovely new equipment which has been provided for us and which we're very grateful for. And of course, it hadn't occurred to me that this good equipment really needs some very good software. And the software I was using was an older version, and unfortunately had a bit of a software failure on my computer, and I've lost half of that interview. How on earth that's happened, I don't know. The last time I lost an interview on Do It For This podcast, well, not for this podcast, for podcasts in general, was a few years ago when I interviewed Ray Comfort, when I lost the entire interview, not just part of it. That was all good. He was very kind, and I remember he enabled us to do the interview again. We had to wait a couple of weeks, but we did the interview again, and that went well. I know I can get this interview again with Eric. We'll do that at some point, because there's some very important things that we talked about that were lost. But actually, the most important stuff that we talked about, well, what to me I really wanted to focus on in the program, we didn't lose. There is an important point, though, in the first bit of the interview that I have lost, and I just want to mention that first before we go any farther, which is we talk quite a bit about the Genesis movie. And now the Genesis movie is being produced in association with Creation Today, and it's a fascinating project because there's going to be a 3D animation of the first three chapters of the book of Genesis, and that's a very, very exciting project. And if you go to the website genesismovie.com, you'll find out information about that, which Eric wanted to share, and chatted to me about that in the portion that unfortunately I've lost. But it's important to go to that website, and there are some videos on the website. Please have a look at those videos. I will share one or two of those over a period of time on the Mount St. Helens website as well. But the project is coming along really well. The senior producer, Ralph Streen, has produced some really lovely excerpts that you can see on the website, genesismovie.com, so that it'll whet your appetite so you know what sort of thing you're going to expect. Now, I sort of went through the videos to see if there were any that had a fair amount of narration so that I could put them into this podcast, because obviously you're not going to be able to see any of the 3D work over this podcast. But remember, don't fear, you know the website, genesismovie.com. Go to that website and you'll see some of the marvelous footage that's been produced already. But in the meanwhile, let's whet your appetite a little bit with this excerpt from one of the trailers.
What sets Genesis 3D apart from every other film based on the Bible is the cutting-edge special effects that brings the truth of God's Word to life like never before in 3D. This is a painstaking process that requires artistry, texturing, modeling, shading, animating, as well as the accumulation of hardware such as computers, cables, air conditioners, hard drives, video cards, and software like Maya, After Effects, View Extreme, and Photoshop. It's been an amazing journey to watch as Genesis 3D grew from this preliminary pitch video, which was used to garner initial support for the project, to the completed 3D sequences to be used in the finished film. All of this hard work, countless hours designing and planning and building these 3D sequences, results in an experience that is unlike any telling of the Bible that you've ever seen.
Well, that was the audio background to one of the trailers from GenesisMovie.com, all about the Genesis 3D movie. It's just to whet your appetite, really, so that you can tell what you're about to see. I know you didn't see a thing there. This is a radio program, but go to GenesisMovie.com and you'll find out more. Well, coming up, as I said, I've got an interview with my good friend Eric Hovind. That's what we're going to have coming up next. But I'm chuffed to bits, actually, about one thing that happened today. I got on the telephone to an old friend of mine I hadn't spoken to for a long while, an old friend of mine called Todd Friel. Todd Friel runs a very important radio show and TV show out of Atlanta, Wretched Radio and Wretched TV. And I haven't spoken to Todd for months and months and months, and just felt it would be good to get in touch and call him. And you know how it is when you've you speak to a friend and you haven't spoken to them for a long time, but if you're a good friend, you just pick up the conversation where you left off. You know, there were some things that we'd spoken about nearly a year ago, and we were just able to pick up the conversation from where we'd left off, even though neither of us could remember it. But it's just a joy to be able to do that. And I wanted to mention that, partly because, you know, I need to plug his show. You need to be listening to Wretched Radio. It's still the, to me, the most important radio show out there, and I just love hearing it. And you know, Todd's got a book out, and it's a very, very important book, because there are very few people that I can think of who would begin a Christian book with the words, "Have you noticed the world is going bonkers?" Of course, he's absolutely right, the world is going bonkers, but I don't know anyone else who'd begin a major theological work with a phrase like that. Well, that's the introduction, that's the first sentence of his book, Judge Not, and that's an important book. You need to get hold of that book, Judge Not, so you need to go to his website, wretchedradio.com, and get hold of that book. He's been doing the rounds and doing interviews on other people's radio shows, but as I said, it's Wretched Radio that you need to come back to, because he's the only person I know who does this sort of sound biblical theology with a sense of humor, because there's so many people have lost their sense of humor these days, and we need a sense of humor with all the things that are going on that Todd's had to pick apart in his book. We need a sense of humor if we're going to get through. So you need to get that book as well. Judge Not, you need to get hold of that. And there's a few books that I've been reading lately that I think you need to get hold of as well. I've been studying quite a lot about apologetics, because I wanted to put together a book on apologetics. Apologetics is something that's close to my heart. Creation is about apologetics. It's about defending the faith. The main attack that is coming against the Bible today from the world out there is at the point of Genesis. And that's why creation ministers are at the forefront of things. But it's possible to defend creation, it's possible to defend Genesis in the wrong way. And therefore, I think we really need to study the whole subject of apologetics. And that's why I've been writing a book on the subject. And clearly, if I'm writing a book, one of the things you have to do when you're writing books is you have to read books. Did you know that? You can't really write a book without reading books. So I have been reading books about apologetics too. You see, one of the things that I wanted to do was have a book that didn't just give you a methodology for apologetics and didn't just mention 1 Peter 3:15, although it's an important verse, but it's not the only one we need to concentrate on. So it's not even the one, therefore, that I started with in my book. I wanted to anchor everything to Scripture. I really wanted it to be expository, actually. I wanted to start from Scripture and expound issues to do with apologetics. If I'd thought about it, therefore, I guess I could have called the book Expository Apologetics. However, I have discovered that somebody else has written a book with that title, beaten me to it, and that's Dr. Vody Baucom. And that is a very good book on apologetics. I've read through that book, and it's just saying things, really, in many ways, the same sort of things that I wanted to say, because he's starting from Scripture, and he's expounding it, and he's explaining then how our defense of the faith comes from Scripture. So I obviously want you to read my book, but you could do with reading his book too. So that's called Expository Apologetics by Dr. Vody Baucom. A very, very important book indeed to get hold of. And so that's one book that's necessary. I've read another book which takes a similar tack, again wanting to start from the Bible and working out from that, and that's a book called Biblical Apologetics by Clifford McManus, and I think you would benefit from that as well. It's perhaps a little bit more difficult to get through, but it's well worth plowing through it, because he talks about something that you don't see in other apologetics books. He talks about what he calls internal apologetics, the fact that actually many pastors have to defend the faith to their own churches. There are Christians, if I can put the word Christian in inverted commas, it could be because some of these people are not actually Christians, but there are many people in our churches who believe the most weird and wacky things. Now, I know that. I'm an itinerant speaker. I go round to many churches led by very sound leadership who preach the gospel, and some of those people, I often wonder how surprised they would be at the opinions of members of their church who come up to me afterwards and talk to me and come up with the most outlandish and weird ideas and theologies that I know for a fact they have not picked up from the church leadership, which is thoroughly sound. But people are picking up all sorts of weird and wacky ideas off the internet and things like that. So I've tried to tackle that as well in my book. I've got a chapter in my book called Contend Within, where we need to actually argue the case for defending the faith within our churches, because there is an enemy within almost. These people are not necessarily enemies, okay? Please don't misunderstand me, though. The devil is an enemy, and he will bring in false doctrine into churches. Some of them will be enemies within. Some of them will be wolves. Some of them will be people who have just not been taught well and somehow are managing to miss the teaching from the front of the church, perhaps because of the inoculation they've received from places they've been in before, and they're just not picking up good sound doctrine. And pastors can't just ignore this. They need to defend the faith to their own people, as well as defending the faith out of there. So that's an important point. And well, as I said, my book is finished, and I've sent it to a couple of people to have a look at, to see if they can offer any commendation for it, spot any heresies and so on, and hopefully a well-known popular apologist of today, hopefully, God willing, is going to write the foreword for it. He has agreed to do so, but I'd better not say who that is until such time as I actually get that, and so I know that I've got the permission to use it. Well, the apologetics position that I've taken throughout my book is what's known as presuppositional apologetics. And that's what I believe is the sound biblical way to do things. But it's not a methodology, you know, and I don't want to just pick it up because it's a nice buzzword. And, you know, when I look at discussions on Facebook, social media, and elsewhere on the internet, I see some people who like to latch on to this idea, and they don't actually think it through. It's just, it's the latest fad. So there are a lot of people who've got the right They've got the right idea on apologetics, but they got it for the wrong reason, because they haven't actually delved into it. They just like the sort of muscular, shall I dare I say, testosterone-filled way approach of almost a bullying apologetics, really. And, you know, the main advocates of presuppositional apologetics around today will tell you that it shouldn't be done in that way. It should be done carefully. We should be defending the faith with meekness and with fear, is how 1 Peter 3:15 puts it. So there is to be a very careful way that we do this. Now, the one person I know who is really tackling the issue of presuppositional apologetics and putting it across in a user-friendly way, that it is just so gentle in his speech yet so firm in the way that he puts things, is my friend Eric Hovind. And he has for a couple of years really has been just at the forefront, in my opinion, of doing this and finding a popular level of easy to understand apologetics that the public can follow. And he has a DVD out, and I start the interview, this portion of the interview, with talking about that particular DVD, which is called Proof of God, and it's published by Answers in Genesis, and you can get that at the Creation Today website, creationtoday.org, which is Eric's ministry. You can also get it at the Mount St. Helens Creation Center, mshcreationcenter.org. I suppose I could mention you can get it at the Answers in Genesis website too, but, you know, Eric and I need the support at the moment. So let's listen to this interview from Eric Hovind. But there's an important factor here behind that. And you're trying to prove God, aren't you? Is that by throwing people lots and lots of evidence to show them that, you know, that blind them by the science of things?
Yeah, that's right. Let's just dump a bunch of evidence and they'll become believers. No, the beautiful thing about the Proof of God talk is you realize at the end of the day, at the end of the talk, you realize people don't need evidence of God. They already know God exists.
Yes.
They do know that God exists. The question is, are they confessing the truth or are they suppressing the truth?
Yes.
And that to me is a powerful, powerful thought, realizing that people suppress the truth. And the Bible tells us why they suppress that truth. It's because of unrighteousness. So
yes,
we go right to Romans 1 and use Romans 1 to reveal the truth of a person's heart. I hear atheists all the time say, you don't know what's going on in my head. I really don't believe in God. And I have to ask myself the question, am I going to believe what you say or am I going to believe what the Bible says?
Yes.
And they go, well, you don't know what I'm really thinking. And I go, well, I don't have to. The authority of all mankind and of all thoughts, the God that says, I know the imaginations of your thoughts. I don't just know your thoughts. I know your thoughts about your thoughts. I know everything all the way deep down. He says, look, everybody believes, everybody knows that I exist.
Yes, and the fact that sort of evidence is not the key to this, you know, and obviously you and I both like to use evidence in its proper context. Please don't think that we're saying that's not the case. But to show that, it was very instructive that a couple of years ago you did a series of interviews in, I think it was in D.C., when you were at an atheist rally.
Yes.
And what was the question that you were asking them?
Yeah, we're at the Reason rally, and I said, if I could prove God to your satisfaction, would you worship him? And most of them said, no, I wouldn't. I wouldn't worship him. Oh, I asked a series of questions, but that was one of them. I asked them, could you be wrong about everything you think you know? And most of them said, yeah. Said, if I could prove God to your satisfaction, would you be willing to worship him? And then and they said no. And that showed me, even if I gave them enough evidence to convince them, they still would not worship, even if they knew this was the creator of the universe. So evidence really isn't the issue there, is it?
No.
It's not a head issue. It's a heart issue.
It's a spiritual blindness. And as you said, well, what Romans 1 tells us, that although they knew God, they refused to glorify him as God. That's the issue.
That is the issue. So this is, you're hitting on, you know, that big word, presuppositional apologetics. Can I run something by you and
let me ask you
what you think of this? Because as I've been thinking through and contemplating, you said we love the evidence and we share the evidence. And you're right.
Yes.
I have no problem with giving evidence to somebody who's genuinely wondering, well, what about this? Well, where did Cain get his wife? Well, you know, how did this happen? And how do we know? That's apologetics. That's
yes,
also defending the faith. And God has given us reasoning abilities so we can actually do that. So I've kind of broken apologetics, and I don't know if anybody else has done this. I kind of break apologetics down into three categories. One is the faith category. A second category would be the fact category. And a third category would be the foundation category. So the faith category would be like my testimony. If I shared my testimony with you and told you what God has done in my life, I would be sharing, you'd have to take that on faith that that's what God has done.
Yes.
I could share facts to support that. I could go one level deeper and say, well, look at the facts in my life that support this change. Or I could share facts of, hey, look at the facts in archaeology that confirm the Bible. Or look at the facts in science that confirm a creator. So I can go deeper than the faith category. I can go down to the fact category. But if I want to go down to the very depth, down to the very foundation, I got to use that foundation category. And that's what we were talking about with the idea of presuppositional apologetics. That's the foundation level. And that's the level that says no worldview other than Christianity can make sense of the facts and of the faith. So if you get right down to the floor of the argument, it's a foundational level. So I don't know, I've been kind of breaking things down into, okay, in this situation, do I want to use a faith statement? In this situation, what's the best thing to use for this individual to get them to see and understand what God wants to teach them? Do I need to give them facts? Or, and this is what I find with a lot of atheists that say, I wouldn't worship God anyway, I got to take them all the way down to the foundation. And all I can do is leave them understanding that they don't know the truth. Their worldview cannot account for the science or the facts or for anything going on in their life, the faith-based category.
Yeah, I find that very, very compelling, and it's a lovely way of looking at things. There's three words there that all begin with the same letter F, faith, fact, and foundations.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe, perhaps, if you want to illustrate it a little bit, I can think of one, you know, we didn't discuss this beforehand, but like you've been on a couple of different activities, say, at the Grand Canyon, okay? Now, if you want to talk about facts, there's a lot of facts there. So you could be stood at the on the Grand Canyon and you're inspired by what God has done there. Okay? But somebody standing a little way away from you might be inspired by what they see as the millions of years of erosion and so on. So there's a lot of facts that you could pick out there. Perhaps, you know, just tell us some of the things that sort of went through your head as you looked at that magnificent sight.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Grand Canyon. I'm going, look at these steep walls. Slow, gradual processes would not give you these super steep walls at the Grand Canyon that they have today. I even did an open air preaching there, and I had people laugh at me when I pointed out all these scientific facts. We pointed out the buttes that are there at each entrance. There's 900 foot buttes, Red Butte and Cedar Butte, that are evidence of a layer of land that was on top of the top of Grand Canyon at one time. So we don't just have that 900 cubic miles of dirt gone from the Grand Canyon, that big old hole in the ground. There's lots of dirt from that used to be on top of Grand Canyon that is gone right now. So anyway, when you point out these facts, I'm pointing out, look, it would have taken a massive amount of water to remove this dirt.
Yes.
Not just the canyon, but all the, there used to be a mile of sediment on top of the canyon. So anyway, I'm pointing out these scientific facts, and I still have people going, no, I don't believe it.
Yes.
And so what do you say to somebody like that who's not going to accept the fact? Well, why don't they believe it? Because, like you said, they're looking through an evolutionary perspective.
Right.
They're looking through a totally different worldview, a totally different lens. So now I need to go all the way down to the foundation.
Right.
And I need to say, your lens doesn't work.
Yes.
This lens, the lens of Christianity and biblical creation, is the only lens that works. So we're going all the way down to the foundation level. So not only can we point out that their lens doesn't work according to the science, their lens doesn't work according to the very foundation.
Yeah. So there's a particular foundation behind the things that you're saying, the foundation starting that we know that there was an event which would explain either directly or indirectly a rather large amount of water there at the Grand Canyon.
Yes.
And I know there are different models there as to whether it was the water draining off the end of the flood or whether there was a retention of water that broke later. But as I said, directly or indirectly, this is to do with the flood, because that's the only explanation there is of vast amounts of water that could carve out a canyon.
Absolutely. And so there we're looking at the facts and we're going, this is the only explanation, is if you have the preconceived idea that there really was a worldwide flood, this fits it. I like to use the word confirms. It confirms what God's word has already said.
Yes.
I'll never forget the time on one of our Creation Today shows, Paul, you made the comment, and I'd never thought of it like this. You said, if we found a sign on the edge of Noah's Ark that said Noah was here. And we confirmed, wow, it's even Noah's handwriting or carving style. Yep. And we had the whole ark there. If we found that and found a sign that said that, what would be the best evidence of Noah's flood? And you held up the Bible and you said, this would still be the best evidence. And yes. I went, wow, that right there puts the whole thing in focus. We don't put the evidence above the Word of God. The Word of God is the best. It is the foundation, if you will. Everything else just simply confirms what God's Word has already told us.
It's kind of you to report that as my example, and I did mention that, but actually it was Carl Kirby who told me that. So,
another great creation.
Yeah, we seem to be dropping names a lot during this, but I don't mind that because these are great people.
Reason for Hope, or r4h.org.
Absolutely right. Crocker. So go and visit that as well. And I had a wonderful opportunity actually to share some time with Juan Valdez as well.
Wonderful. Does all the Spanish speaking for them. And he's out of Miami. Yes, great guy.
When I heard him, he was speaking English in a Russian-speaking church.
They're Spanish speakers speaking English in a Russian-speaking church. That's great.
Oh, that's funny. That was great. But I would love it if you spent some time at the Grand Canyon. It would be great to see you at Mount St. Helens and
absolutely
to see. You've been in the area.
I have not
seen the sort of little Grand Canyon and so on.
So I was at the center before you were there. That's this right. Past year, I was there with Lloyd and Doris Anderson, and I got to see some of the work that they had done. And I can't wait to see. You've already taken it to the next level and have plans to take it several more levels. So I can't wait to see what you've done, but absolutely, I need to get up there. I need to go on your tour to find out exactly how you present it there and actually see it firsthand for myself.
Well, I mean, there's a lot to do there that we've spoken of on this program many, many times. But it would be great to just get these things into the right perspective, because people need to have the foundation level that you're talking about there at the base to understand things. Then they can really glory in the facts that you want to talk to them about and give them something new to talk about it with their testimony as well, with faith.
I was
very impressed by hearing someone once, I'm sure you'll agree with this, who said it's great to hear about a testimony of how people got saved, but if that's the only testimony you've ever got, you know, there should be a testimony from last week as well as from 10 years ago. And
A consistent testimony of the things that we're learning that confirm and that glorify God. You know, I was looking at your website and you can actually go get, you know, schedule tours. So I need to get on one of those, and all your listeners need to come out there with, and we can just hang out and enjoy a tour with you where you can teach us all the things you've learned. I just talking to you on the phone over the past several months, you know, and you tell me about your tours, I'm just blown away at some of the things you can point out. It's just phenomenal.
Well, these are exciting times, and there's exciting times going on here, which we've talked about. We've talked about the Genesis movie. We've talked about your traveling. And if by some chance there is somebody who's been hiding under a stone for the last few years and doesn't know about Eric and his ministry, make sure you have a look at creationtoday.org. Well, even if you have heard about it, look at it again, because there's always something new there. Make sure you go to creationtoday.org. Make sure you get your church to book Eric to come and speak at your church, because you'll be blessed if you do that. Just support the things they're doing. There's the wide range of different websites as well associated with that. Get your products at creationstore.org. Make sure. I was actually talking to someone in a church recently here in Pensacola just 3 weeks ago who said, where can I get a good creation book on dinosaurs? I said, do you know the Creation Store on W Street? No, never heard of that.
Better
go. Oh, is it that place where there's dinosaurs? Yes, I said.
That's
go.
The one.
Just find the dinosaurs.
Where would I get a book on dinosaurs? Oh, the place that has dinosaurs. That's funny.
So hopefully, I don't know whether she's been in and bought something, but that's just a marvelous resource, marvelous place to be. So make sure that you're involved. The website again is creationtoday.org. All the other things that we've mentioned, there are links to them from there. Visit creation.org, creation events, and so on. There's links there, here, there, and everywhere. everywhere. So if you can't remember anything else, remember creationtoday.org. That's your minimum task, okay? For the advanced level people, there's lots more. But
let me throw one more minimum task out there. You hear it all the time. Hey, what does a cup of coffee a day cost? You know,
yes.
If you would spend $1 a day, and you don't, it's more than that. Spend $1 a day on coffee. Let me encourage you. As somebody who's gotten to watch Paul step into the role at Mount St. Helens, have been blown away, and I'm thrilled. And I would love to see more people, Paul, partner with you on a monthly basis and buy you a cup of coffee every single day and just say, hey, I'll do $30 a month or I'll do $15 a month. Paul, count me in. And so you can go right to his website, Mount St. Helens, the Creation Center, mshcreationcenter.org. And please get involved with his ministry. And Paul, I know you didn't ask me to say this, but I just want you to know that the work that he's doing, it really is one of those foundation stones to what the creation ministries are using. So, Paul, please go on there and become a monthly partner. And the reason I say monthly partner is because that way Paul and his wife Jerry and the whole team there working with them, they can actually have what's called a budget. And a lot of yes. creation ministries don't get to have a budget because people say, yeah, I'll chip in $5, here you go, or I'll chip in $100. And then that's gone. You don't have to think about them again. I want you to do it every single month so that every month you're praying for them and encouraging them with your monthly giving. I don't care if it's only $5 a month. It's something that you can buy a meal, buy a lunch for them once a month. What would you spend on lunch? And once a month, do that for them, their family, and the team there at Mount St. Helens Creation Center. So, Paul, I know you didn't ask for that, and I hope you don't edit that out, but you get on the monthly support list there for their ministry.
I didn't ask you for that, but I'm certainly not going to edit it out. Thanks so much for your generosity in saying that. And I'm sure this won't be the last interview that we'll have on this show. I hope that we'll be in touch again, and that you'll be on our show again. I hope that, yeah, you're nodding your head. So
absolutely, I look forward great. To it, and I love your setup excellent. Here, man. This is fantastic.
Yeah. So, but for the moment, Eric, thank you so much for sharing with us on the Mountain and the Word. Thank you very much for being with
My
us.
My pleasure, Paul.
Well, you've been listening to The Mountain and the Word, Episode 4, and I've been here in Pensacola talking to Eric Hovind at the Creation Today Ministry. Their website, remember, is creationtoday.org, creationtoday.org. Our website's mshcreationcenter.org, and you'll hear that again in the closing credits. For now, God bless you, and thank you for listening.
That was The Mountain and the Word, an audio podcast show from the Mount St. Helens Creation Center. For more information, visit our website, mshcreationcenter.org.